Say that again.
I said, I'm ready for this Laker game.
So how's that going? Because you've got Lakers, Nuggets, Western Conference Finals, right?
Yeah. It's looking good, I think, if you're a Laker fan, because I was expecting it to be the Clippers and the Lakers. And I thought that would have been an interesting battle. I don't think anybody saw Denver coming back from 3-1 to beat the Clippers. So now it's Denver. But watching the last two games, I don't think they have a shot in hell at beating the Lakers. I think they might be able to pull off one. I think the Lakers are going to win this one 4-1. And then on the East, you have the Heat and the Celtics, which has been interesting because the Heat are up 2-1.
Right.
And so I hate Boston. So as a Laker fan, I would love to see Lakers and Celtics in the finals and just bring back that old rivalry. Or you could have LeBron playing against the first team he won the championship with in the Heat and beating them. There could be that. So it's kind of a fun storyline. But at the end of the day, Lakers.
Salty LeBron, by the way, because LeBron is so salty. 16 out of 101. All right, I got you. Are you serious? It's okay. I mean, in the regular season before COVID hit, you weren't the MVP at the time.
Yeah, but that's just being a competitor. I mean, you've been in radio for a long time. Y'all look at stats and metrics all the time. And so you'd want to see where you're ranked at. And if you felt that you should have been ranked higher based on your efforts, you'd complain about it too. Same as in sales, anything else. Who cares? Stop being a hater. Just embrace the fact that the Lakers are going to win.
There's no need to complain. Nobody wants to hear you complain.
If LeBron farts and it stinks, people just got to say something. Like, it's just let him alone. You don't like him, you don't like him. But Jesus, the fact that he's being a competitor and wants to be wants to get the MVP ranking, I don't blame him.
Yeah, he's being a C, all right, but it's not competitor. I'm going with crybaby. Ah, I bet you thought I was going to say something else, huh?
Haters going to hate. Haters going to hate.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm just Terrell. Yeah, you ever been out somewhere and just overheard a couple people having some crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people, and we've been having those crazy conversations since college.
Yes, this is the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 2.
Yes, sir. And, you know, what we are talking about and what I'm sure a lot of people are having conversations about almost everywhere is the notorious RBG.
Yes, yes, Ruth. Very sad, you know. And I get, you know, when people – natural things happen when people get older. I totally get it. But she is such a fascinating woman. If you just read through a lot of the stuff that she's done in for women and for equal rights. But I looked up this one story that just kind of really wowed it for me. So when she went to college and she met her husband at college, and so they get married, he eventually goes to Harvard Law and she goes to Harvard Law, and they have a daughter. And he gets diagnosed with testicular cancer. So while taking care of him and a daughter, she would go to his classes as well as hers and help him write his papers. And they both wound up graduating. And during that time, she was selected to be on the Harvard Review, all while doing that. I mean, people talk about the amazing things that women can do.
Right.
She is phenomenal, right? And the things that she's done for equal rights for women, and some things she did for men as well. I mean, she's just a very phenomenal person. So it's a tough loss. Outside of the political realm, it's a tough loss, you know, but she did amazing things on this earth. I hope I could just do half of that.
Yeah. And you know, unfortunately, we don't get a chance to even really bask in the glory of what she's done because, of course, politics raised its ugly head immediately. And it's amazing because one of the things that we've all seen with her is hanging on. I think when she went to the hospital just a couple of weeks ago, you could hear the world just holding their breath like, oh, is she going to be okay? And you could almost feel like she was holding out until November 4th. Matter of fact, one of her last wishes was that she was not replaced. If she does pass, she's not replaced until a new president has been selected. Well, of course, she passes and the political spin begins from both sides. The president has now said he's going to fill the position almost immediately. And it's like, wait a minute. If I remember correctly, about 4 years ago.
Barely 4 years. Yeah.
And they were 8 months away from the election and yet was like, nope, we can't. And Mitch McConnell, you know, stood on his high ground. We cannot have a new president. Let the American people decide. And then even Lindsey Graham, who I know Lindsey Graham simply because he represents South Carolina, spent a lot of time in South Carolina, and he's been a hypocrite for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And even in 2016, he says, you know, use my words against me. Well, guess what, Lindsey? It's time to use them, because what does he say? I'm backing President Donald Trump, and no matter what, if we need to fill the seat, we're going to fill the seat. It's like, here we go with this political spin and hypocrisy. And it really doesn't matter, because those on the left are going to say this is wrong, and those on the right are going to go, well, you know what? If it was the other way around, you would have done it.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's the sad part about it. It's the whole political spin of it. That's why I just don't believe anything any politician says. I don't care who you are. I just don't take what you're saying as Bible. And hopefully we have people that won't eventually will stop doing that as well. Because, yeah, Lindsey Graham said that. I watched the recording. You can, you know, use my words against me. They're going to. And he's got to figure out a way to spin it and make it a different reason.
He's going to say, well, that was then. This is now.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's sad. It's unfortunate. But I think there's been a lot of positive things that have been said about her. You have the different documentaries that have been done about her. So at least she was able to live to see those.
Yeah.
Right. Compared to wait until you're gone and then your biopic comes out and you don't get a chance to see how it went. So at least you got a chance to see a lot of that. But yeah, the politics spin has got to happen. That's what I hate about this time of the year.
You know, what also goes with this is because there was a rule that was changed in 2016, instead of needing, I think it was 60 or 62 votes before, now you just need 51, just a majority. And I think they're 54 or 53 Republican senators. So as of, we're recording today on Sunday, right? As of today, there are two Republican senators, both women, who've said that they would not approve of filling the seat until the election. They need at least two more. Mitt Romney is one of the two that hasn't committed to a side yet, and you know how he feels about the president. So anything can happen. It's like the finals right now as we get down to the race of it. But one of the things that Donald Trump has said was that he's going to fill it and definitively with a woman. And it's interesting because remember when Joe Biden said his running mate was going to be a woman. And I wonder, does that really back you into a corner, though? I mean, and I'm not saying that it shouldn't be a woman, but I'm saying if you say like it has to be, like there are Democrats who say it has to be filled by a liberal. Republicans say it has to be filled by a Republican. Well, honestly, we know if whoever the president is, that's the party that is going to be filling that seat. So. But are they backing themselves into a corner by saying it has to be a woman?
Well, of course, right? And you know, you would think you wouldn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. Part of me likes when they do that because that's how sometimes, unfortunately, the way our system is set up, somehow women get a chance. Sometimes, you know, you have Sandra Day O'Connor, then you had Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I mean, you have to eventually say, I'm putting a woman in the spot, come hell or high water. So Ted Cruz, I know you were interested, but it's not going to happen. So I don't mind when they do that. My question is, what woman will do it? And here's what I mean by that. And again, this is researching more about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So when she was going through her vetting to be Supreme Court Justice, she wouldn't answer certain questions to express what her views were on certain topics, where she leaned or not. And that's what she felt made her a good justice, which I like that idea. So I wonder how many of potential women candidates are going to say, hey, if I get the opportunity to turn back Roe versus Wade, I'm going to vote for it. You know, or they, and do they mean it? Or are they just saying that just to be in good graces with the president? Because I think there's a lot of people in his administration who don't agree with him or believe in a lot of things to do him. But because you got to play ball and you got to think long term for your career, for your book, or whatever you got to do, you're going to go along with some of this stuff, even though there's recordings of you saying the total opposite. There's a history of you voting opposite of what this person has said, but you're going to go with it in public. So I'm hoping that if he does get a woman, I wonder what woman it would be. And if it is a woman that says, I would vote against, or I would vote to turn back Roe versus Wade, I wonder how women would receive that, especially the pro-choice crowd. I wonder how they would. I'm curious to see what that whole interaction, everything's going to look like.
It is going to be an interesting one. And you're right. There are a lot of people, and this is just my opinion, that in within the administration, and you've seen this as they leave and they go, oh, my God, he's crazy as hell. Yeah, we know. We saw this. But we also saw you fighting for him and defending right. all of those actions. And you're right. They're protecting their interest in that sense. And it's kind of like, how do I believe you now? When you come out, when you back all the things that we've heard before. And to say that somebody says one thing and then changes their mind. Well, let's be honest. That's kind of what the president has done for ever. I mean, a lot of things he's doing in the office right now, in the White House right now, he basically said that Obama was breaking the law in doing that.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. Like, that's the thing. I want to see what's going to happen. Are they following their own personal interests, or are they really going to, hey, this is what I believe, here are my views, and then kind of let nature take its course, if you will. But I think there's a lot of folks who, I laugh at these books that are coming out and the money grab that people are doing.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be on the podium totally defending somebody and then write your book and be like, oh, I've always thought this, and da da da. Because then I'm like, well, you lose all credibility. And the thing is, you're probably right in what you're saying, but
yeah,
it makes it hard to believe. Although I still stand by the fact that if I ever go viral for anything negative and I need to get a PR person, mm-hmm. Kellyanne Conway, I'm calling her up just like that. She'll have my
back. These are just alternative words that he spoke beforehand.
Yeah. When I replay the tape, I don't recall Terrell saying that. I don't hear that. I don't know if it's your audio, but mine, I don't hear him say that at all.
You're listening to alternative words. I thought, and the thing about it is, she thought of that on the spot. You can see her think that up, and when she said it, she smiled because she was like, oh, I got him. I was like, oh, my God. You're right, though. I would probably very well hire Kellyanne Conway. You need to ride or die like Kellyanne Conway.
She's good at that spin. I mean, I'll take it in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but we'll have to see how this plays out, because I know the Republicans will probably make a full push to fill that seat before the election. So we'll see. Again, we'll just have to see what happens. Even those Republicans that are like, nope, I'm going to hold off my vote and wait till after. Okay, you're saying that now, but
yeah,
you know, we all know money talks, bullshit runs a marathon, right? So,
because I think one of the guys who is not up, he's not running for reelection, and he said he wasn't going to. And then all of a sudden, now that this happened, he goes, oh, well, I'm going to back Mitch McConnell, because if it's a Republican president, a Republican majority, then our party expects us to do this. And it's like, oh, you don't even have anything to lose in this. But, you know, and that's the problem. A lot of them play the game of reelection. And this time he's not playing the game of reelection. So you almost have to respect the fact that he's like, no, I'm just going to do it for party. I'm going to do it for my gang. I'm going to do it for the Bloods and the Crips. You know, it's what it is, because that's all it is. It's gang warfare. And right now, even as you look at the divide in the country, as it gets even more so, one of the most interesting things I saw was watching this thing on Netflix, The Social Dilemma. And mm-hmm. they asked one of the guys, and they said, what do you think is coming? He goes, civil war. And I went, you know, it doesn't seem so far-fetched.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. And I watched that as well, and it doesn't. But that's the whole point, right? How much people are letting these outside things determine how they see the world and how they view the world. Mm-hmm. You can I've listened to some of the current president's speeches, and people will be like, I can't believe he said such and such. I'm like, he didn't say that. I listened to it. He didn't say that at all. It took little, don't believe everything that's on the internet, but that's what social media is able to do, is really drive our thought process and use us the way we want to be used, or where they want us to be used. And it's worked so easily. And I was even shocked, because I was looking at the thing where they're talking about how much time you spend on social media. And so like every Sunday I get this alert from my iPhone that tells me how much time I've just spent on the phone in general, not so much by social media platform, but just in general. And I'm like, God, I spend a lot of time on the phone. But also I'm like, okay, I'm single, I don't have any kids. You know, I was laid off for a while. I had a lot of free time. So what's the big deal? Right. But you look at how much other people are on it, and then the things that the reason why certain things pop up on your timeline, I thought was really interesting about that podcast. And then the fact that you hadn't been on it, what are ways that we can send you a notification just to get you back in? I'm like, God, they are good. They're good at that.
I've had to turn off because it's just killing my email inbox, right? And I don't know how or why, or maybe just automatically started itself and put those email notifications, because I'm like, I don't need these 400 emails from Instagram or Twitter or Facebook telling me that Terrell just posted a new picture, right? If I go on Facebook, I'll see it. But I don't need all those notifications. Now, I know a lot of people who don't have notifications on their phone. I like notifications because it tells me whether I want to open it or not. But it's interesting when you go back and look and see that that's the actual goal of notifications, to get you to open it, and the things they do to get you to open it. You know, LeBron throws down a monster dunk. Yeah, well, I did like the Lakers when Kobe was there. I don't care that LeBron threw down a monster dunk now. So that's not going to make me open the app. So they're going to try something else. What else can we try? Let's see.
Yeah. Let's throw an ad in there, something that's going to get him excited. I think the example of social media is they showed somebody got an alert that their ex was now in a new relationship.
Yeah.
And that made him, and the kid was supposed to try and take a week off of social media. So it made him look. And then the thing that it made him do after that, the depression that he felt, now he's lonely and all that kind of stuff, which that's what we do, right? We get on the app, we start looking to see what other people are doing. And on Facebook, they look like their life is awesome.
Yeah.
And everything in their world is going amazing. And so now it just makes me try to feel more and more like crap. Also, like the study they did around Snapchat filters, and how you have like a lot of these women who are trying to get these plastic surgeries so they can look as good as they do in the Snapchat pictures. I'm just like, and you know, being someone that's on dating apps, I get it, because I see those filters. I'm just like, come on, come on now. I'm just like, come on now.
You show up on the date. This is not you.
Yeah, I'm like, no.
This is not you. Who the hell is this? I want to meet this person.
Hold on, wait. I bought some bunny rabbit ears. Put those on. Nope, still don't look like you. But yeah, people do it all the time. And I'm like, just be yourself. And don't get me wrong, I get it. I think all of us have dealt with those type of issues, depression and all that stuff, and you start feeling bad about who you are and all that. So those things don't help any of that, especially if people dealing with depression. Those things don't help, but geez, on the dating apps, just stop it. On social media, on your Facebook, do that. But if I'm trying to decide if I want to get to know you and take you to a good steak dinner, please just don't put the bunny ears on yourself.
Here's the thing about it, though. I mean, and you and I want to say we're lucky, because we didn't grow up in this social media world, right? As kids. I mean, of course, we grew into it, and it grew while we were here. But this generation is the last of knowing of not having that, and not having the phone in their hands at all times. You think of little kids who have phones almost immediately, and the kids who have social media accounts early. We never had to worry about that. And I think if considering the things that we did back in college, whew, thank God there wasn't social media around.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I thank God every day that they didn't have any of this stuff. They didn't even have camera phones. Yeah. Although remember the beepers we had? I think that was still cool. We had the beepers. But no, to your point, there wasn't any of that. And when you think about children and young people, the bullying stopped once you got off the bus.
Yeah.
Right. There's no one that could say anything or whatever. You're not looking or comparing yourself to anybody because you're at home now. And this is your world. This is your space.
Yeah.
You know, but if you have, you know, some shitty parents, you know, or maybe just your condition is not at the same as others. And so you look to see like, wow, I the only time I really eat a meal is at school. And then I come home on social media and I'm watching my friends like throw steaks down the garbage disposal because they can afford to. I can see how that could make a person feel negative and down about themselves. But there's a lot of cool sites that try to kind of spark the opposite. And I was thinking about that is, if there's these companies that are trying to put these algorithms together to get you to buy stuff, you can't stop that machine. But what if they were to come up with other companies that would do algorithms to send you notifications that are positive, that make you feel good about yourself or something like that to kind of counter that. I know I'm far from a technical guru, but if you're trying to get me to spend money or feel bad about myself, it has to be the opposite of somebody that can make you feel good about yourself.
Well, you mean so my hashtag Monday motivation does not work?
No.
I see a great quote on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, and I repost it or retweet it, and I put this. I'm good for that. Like, I'm just gonna leave this right here.
I'm just gonna leave this right here, just in case somebody needs to hear this today. No, that doesn't help me that much. But you know what else doesn't really help? It's some of the other stuff that people put up there. You know, when people are like, "Hey, I need some prayers," you know, but they don't tell you the details, because then I turn into this nosy teenager. I'm like, "Well, what's going on?" You know, I'm definitely down to pray, but just give me some deets, like high level. Give me some bullet points. My God likes specifics. I just can't send them some random, "Hey, whatever they're dealing with, take care of all that." I like to get specific.
Wait, but if your God's supposed to know everything, it's all knowing.
Yeah, but you know, I just want to make sure that what they're talking about and what God is talking about, that we're all on the same page. I just want to make sure that there's alignment.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that when something happens, even if you give details, the comments always go praying for you and your family. And the question then becomes, are you really? Or did you just put the prayer hands up and go, all right, on to the next thing?
And on to the next thing. Definitely. Right. Similar to when people like, "Hey, share this and you're going to get this." Nope, I don't share any of that. It stops right then and there. I tagged Terrell in this quiz. You know, I know he'll do it. Nope, he's not going to do it. That quiz is going to die right there. It's not happening. I don't do any of those things. None of that motivates me. And I think for some, if it does, great. Just for me, I'm like, I can't believe you're posting this. You know, it's my birthday and I would love to get, if I get 100 likes, I will put a pie in my husband's face or something like that. I mean, it's attention getting behavior, right? And we all do it. I'll post something and I'll be like, "Oh man, I got 10 likes." And what sometimes is funny is I'll forget that I'm friends with somebody on Facebook, and somebody will like, I'll be like, "Oh shoot, Yanni's, I haven't talked to Yanni in decades. I wonder how he's doing." And then it stops. Like right there, I could easily reach out. Yeah. "Hey, thanks for liking my post. How have you been? It's been 10 years. Nope. I just think about it. And then I'm like, put the phone down and out of sight, out of mind.
Well, you know, there was an interesting documentary that was also on Netflix about Cambridge Analytica in the 2016 election years ago. And the thing about that one was they talked about those tests. And like, so take, for instance, if you took the test and I didn't take the test, right? Mm-hmm. You gave the company permission, not just only for your information, but for everybody, all of your friends. So, you may not take the test, but they already have your information. And it goes back to the divide that they spoke about in The Social Dilemma, because it's one of the things that you see is the people on the right hear all the stuff from the right. The people from the left hear all the stuff from the left. People like me, I look at both. So the algorithms are like, what the hell? What do we give them? Oh, let's give them everything, because I'll see stuff and go, well, let's just hear what they're saying about this side. Let's hear what they're saying about this side. But you can understand why people live in the bubble. And why do people think this way? And then you find out why, because if all they're getting, that wormhole, that rabbit hole that YouTube created years ago, it sounds like this is exactly what social media has done. So YouTube created this rabbit hole and these algorithms, and then social media picked it up and goes, huh, now here's how we can do this for content. It's slightly different, but yet very similar, because how many times have you been on YouTube and just gone down this rabbit hole because you watch one video, another one pops up, and then, you know, it's 45 minutes later, you're like, holy shit, how did I get here?
Yeah, you know, they totally do. And that's what's so, that is so true, because all the stuff that you put out there, nothing is private at all, no matter. I think they give you that false sense of privacy by saying only some people will see this. No. People are looking at your content and using that, whether it be for marketing, whether it be for political reasons, and all that. And so all that stuff is being used, and it is what it is, right? I mean, we're still going to use it. We're still going to use social media. But yeah, you're right. I laugh at sometimes some of the stuff that comes in my feed. I'm like, why did this pop up? And I'm like, oh, yeah, wait a minute. I did watch that crazy thing the other day, and This is probably why.
It's algorithms are why when you go shopping for, you just look up sofa, and all of a sudden you go on Facebook or any other website, and all of a sudden all these sofa ads just keep popping up. That's why. But it's interesting because even on social media, how many people are looking, you may not think anybody would want to hijack your account. Mm-hmm. But I had somebody who followed me yesterday on a couple of my accounts, and I was like, I looked at it. And then I noticed all their posts, because this person has been following me before, all of their posts were posted like 13 minutes ago, all the pictures. Mm. So I texted them, hey, did you just start a new account or were you hacked? And they're like, you're the second person who said that. You need to go ahead and report this. I'm going to report it. You need to tell the person who told you to report it. And you need to shut this account down because they just use your name, put an underscore at the end of it. And they're going to try and hijack your friends that way.
Yeah.
So you've got to be aware of that. And even with social media, it's interesting because while I don't think I'm addicted to it, I remember when I got locked out of my Facebook.
Mm.
And I was on the road driving back from Atlanta to Charleston, and we were probably about an hour out. And I felt so helpless. I'm almost ashamed to say it, but I felt so lost. I'm like, I felt lost like the time I went to the Social Security office and they had my wrong birth date associated with my Social Security number. And I'm like, who am I really? Feels like when somebody breaks in your house, because I've had that happen before, too. You're like, I just feel so violated. And that's how I felt when I couldn't access my Facebook.
Mm. No, I went the first time I was able to totally go off the grid, as they say. I was on a Carnival cruise. I think it's like 2012. And so at certain points you have no Wi-Fi, you can't do anything. So I would leave my phone in my room and just be walking around the boat, hit the casino, comedy show, restaurant. And the first day it was weird. And I think we docked in like Key West. So as soon as I had Wi-Fi, I'm like, okay, what, you know, come, give me my fix. You know, what did I miss? What did I miss? Right.
Wi-Fi. Oh,
yeah. So, so I totally get it. And I like kind of being disconnected from it a bit, mm-hmm. but I think I use social media more so to see how my friends are doing. Because I don't pick up the phone and call everybody. So it's just nice to see, you know, oh, so-and-so just had a baby, like, you know, or something like that. The hard part is just depending on what's going on in the world. When you have like NFL, and you have the kneeling thing, and then you have politics, and you have RBG, and now they're trying to play. And then you see people's views. That's the stuff that gets like, it makes you frustrated, and you get that angst. I get it. But then sometimes I realize to myself, like, okay, this person, whether we were talking about politics or pancakes, I would think they're an idiot. So why is their opinion getting to me? Like, I've never thought of it before. We would never ask their advice. If they told me it was 5 o'clock, I'd still double check my watch, right? So why would I just believe or take this person's, you know, opinion and let it bother me and irritate me? So it's hard. It's hard. But I don't like going out without social media just so I can just stay connected a bit with people. But I totally get it. I'm hooked on it. We're all hooked on it.
Yeah, I mean, after all, if you go to the gym and you work out and you don't post about it, did you really work out?
No.
Of course not. You know, social media is good for connecting people, but it's also good for disconnecting people, as we found out when it gets down to politics. Because 08, you've seen, I didn't know this person thought this way. 12, 16, and here we are in 20. I didn't know this person. You should know by now. Politics will let you know who your friends really are and what you know and what you don't know about your friends.
Yeah. Yeah. And just different things they share that's politically motivated. It's interesting. But that's the fun part. You got to discipline yourself to fight that and just take social media for what it is. A place where you can look at your friends, you can look at their dogs. Like, maybe we should create our own social media platform, and that's all you can post about. Pets and family and anything positive. Can't post anything else. If it does, it gets rejected.
I'll tell you what, I won't be on there. I don't want to see pictures of your pets. I'll be honest, I don't care.
Oh, dogs, man. Dogs.
Especially like, dogs.
I don't really want to see your cat pics, but dogs? Dogs got that cute face.
I'll take the cat pics.
Look. I had a friend of mine I worked with, she would talk about that. She was a dog walker. And she'll talk about getting those little doggy snuggles and doggy kisses. And I get it. I love dogs, man.
Yeah, and see, so you're kissing your dog. Don't eat out of that kitchen. Potluck? Nope. You probably got the dog licking the spoon. Nope, we're good.
Well, they could lick the spoon and not just, you know, throw the spoon in a dishwasher. I wouldn't, like, let them lick the spoon and then go back to mixing.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't.
For yours, I would do that, but for you.
Well, thank God I've got my own glass here and my own drink for the toast. I don't have to worry about you letting the dog clean my glass. All right, what you drinking?
Well, I told you last week that I hadn't had a chance to go to the store and I was going to buy some whiskey and I would have that ready for the next one. Well, I did buy some whiskey and had some of it on Friday night, and me and whiskey had a little bit of a disagreement. And so we're taking a little bit of a time out right now. So I saw my whiskey's social media and we just don't agree on some things after Friday night.
So whiskey's like, we need a new Supreme Court justice. Yeah.
So I'm taking a break and going with old faithful little TNT, Tito's and Tonic.
Oh, nice. Well, I'm back to my CC plus three. You know, Christopher Columbus for 300 years in 1792, because I also didn't make it back to the liquor store. So this is what I got. And this was actually pretty smooth last week. So I am not mad at it at all.
That's a good one. I'm not jealous. I totally would do whiskey, but I just don't think it'd be a good idea to do right now.
Well, you know, I'm not there with you. So go ahead, please have a shot of whiskey.
No.
Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Cheers.
Cheers. TNT just doesn't do you wrong.
Yeah, I mean, this is good.
It's like a grandma's hug. It just makes you know everything's going to be all right.
See, I just do my Tito's straight up, man. A little ice and that's it.
I think you're drinking vodka straight up. That's when you got some problems. You should probably lay on the couch and talk to somebody about that.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us, man. If you like the show, do us a favor.
Hit that subscribe button and don't forget to hit the bell to get notifications.